Hey, Fig Tree fam. Welcome to Under the Fig Tree. We're glad that you're here with us. We got a great topic today. Bruce, you want to introduce the topic?
Sure. We're going to talk about forgiveness, man. And I think it's going to be good. You know, we're in such a place right now, man, within the body of Christ, where I just really feel like we really need to make sure that we are unified and that we're one.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus wanted. That's what he expects. And a big part of that is not being perfect, but being able to say, I'm sorry. Being able to say, I forgive you. And I know you have a third one that's very important, and that's even being able to forgive oneself.
Correct.
And so we're just going to talk about it.
I love it. I like that you bring up the perfection part and what most of us don't get. That was the perfection without flaw.
Yeah.
Is more of a Greek mentality.
Yes.
That was brought through Hellenism.
Yes.
And what the Hebrews believed perfection was, maturity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. We can be perfected.
Yeah.
Because that just means mature.
Right.
So I think this conversation is going to help in that aspect.
I believe it.
Forgiveness is absolutely necessary. So
absolutely
let's
necessary.
Dive right into it.
Where you want to start?
I think we want to start in Ephesians 4.
Let's do it.
I got Ephesians 4, verse 32. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Tenderhearted?
Tenderhearted, man.
What does that mean?
Oh, man. You got to care for one. You got to be compassionate.
Man.
You got to be compassionate. If you really think about it, Bruce, one of the issues, and I know we give Pharisees a really, really, really hard time.
Uh-huh.
But the Pharisees were dedicated to obedience.
Right.
They really were. Now, their interpretation was off.
Yeah.
But they were dedicated to the text and to being obedient to what God says.
Right.
The problem was they didn't have any compassion for those who weren't obeying the text. And so that was the biggest issue with them. They just lacked compassion.
You dirty dogs.
Yeah, so
you're not obeying the text.
The whole tenderhearted thing, you know what I mean, comes into play because we have to be compassionate towards one another.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's just something, you know, to throw out there.
That's really good. Well, I'll tell you what. Since we're in Ephesians 4 and we read 32, I want to back up to 31 because I think 31 reads reads really nicely into 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice. Oh, oh. And then it says, be kind.
Then it says, be kind. Look, in case you didn't understand what I just said.
In case you didn't understand, be kind, right? Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. What's clamor?
Yeah.
Slander. And then it says, oh, yeah, and malice, too. Wow. Body of Christ. Are we doing that?
Look, I think it's progressive because it says bitterness and then what?
And then finally gets to what? Bitterness and then wrath.
Yeah.
And then anger.
Yeah.
Clamor.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about stuff you shouldn't be talking about. Slander.
And then malice.
And then malice. Yeah. Now it's become physical almost.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I think it becomes progressive.
Yeah. You know? So we're instructed to let all of that stuff go.
And it's so funny, Bruce, when you read that, because I'm glad you read 31. It reads it, you know, feeds into 32.
Yeah.
It's like the two ideas juxtapose one another.
Uh-huh.
So let's get rid of all this. And in other words, let's just be kind.
Let's just be kind.
There's no way you can be kind to one another if you're involved with those things that are laid out
absolutely.
In 31.
Absolutely.
And so we're staying away from 31.
Yeah.
Right? Staying away from those things in verse 31.
Yeah.
For the purpose of being obedient to what God says in his text and to be kind and tenderhearted because all that goes together, right?
And you can say it like this. All of those things that I'm telling you to stay away from will fight your ability to be kind.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And they will definitely fight your ability to forgive.
They will fight your ability to forgive. Absolutely. I got 1 John 1:9.
Let's go.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just had to throw that in there.
I love that passage. Anyway.
You know what I'm saying? I just love that passage. You know, and you know, so forgiveness, man. I don't know, dude. It seems to me, I don't know. I can only speak for myself. God did some things with me really early in my walk that had to do with forgiveness. And I'm grateful for it. It was really hard initially. And I thought, oh, man, he's trying to kill me. You know, from the standpoint of having to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But he put me in some situations really, really early in my walk that just freed me up. And so it became extraordinarily easy to just apologize. I began to experience the benefit of being quick to just apologize and say, you know what, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant, or that wasn't my heart, or, you know, so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying?
Talk a little bit about the benefit. What the benefit?
Well, it's interesting because, see, how do I explain the benefit? For me, it was like, it was freeing. Mm-hmm. I felt free. I didn't feel weighed down. But I think there's an implied benefit even for the person that you're saying, please forgive me too. Because now you're modeling what it looks like to be Ephesians 4:32, tenderhearted.
Yeah, I got you.
Now you're modeling. You're saying, oh man, I didn't mean that. That's not what I meant. If I hurt you, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know, so there's benefits there because then you're now being used by God to model what it really looks like. But I think for me, the main benefit was that it freed me up and I was able to just say, oh, man, I'm sorry. Now, I tell you, I'll just be real honest and real transparent and we'll get to it. But saying I'm sorry became really much easier than saying I forgive you. Hmm. Asking for forgiveness.
I got you.
Became, and I'm talking years ago, you know, I've been kind of in this thing for a minute. But sometimes I think there's a need to say, hey, you know what? I need to forgive you. You might not even know that I need to forgive you, but I know that I need to forgive you. And so I forgive you. And I don't know why that is, but I'm just being really transparent. There was a time in my life where it was like, that's very, very difficult. And I'll be real honest, even sometimes now, you know, it's like, yeah, that hurt. Now, do I feel like I need to? And I don't think you always need to. I think sometimes you just, you know, choose to forgive and you go on, right? But I think there are times when it may be necessary. I know I've had God tell me, hey, go and handle that, you know?
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's a real different dynamic. But I know that there's a lot of believers who live in these three dynamics that we're talking about. Please forgive me. I forgive you. And then forgiving oneself. I know that that's a real issue in the body of Christ.
It is. And we, you know, obviously in discipleship and stuff like that, we're going to teach people about forgiveness. And I think what's funny, because you guys that have been listening to us for a while, you know that we are fans of The Chosen.
Yeah.
And one thing I did like, because I taught this for the longest time, and to actually see it play out on screen to some degree, considering the culture at that time and how the tax collectors were viewed, I'm like, one of the first lessons those guys had to learn was forgiveness.
Yeah, man.
Because the dude that's oppressing, or he's part of the oppressors in your mind, you know what I mean?
Right.
Jesus is like, yeah, he's with me.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute, how can he be with you?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right, right.
But
right.
That's one of the lessons they had to learn from
it's
the
like,
beginning.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
He's Jesus, do you really know what he's done?
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
And so they had to learn to forgive, you know, because they had that guy with them. And I believe that's a wonderful lesson to learn early in discipleship.
Yeah.
Is how to forgive and when to forgive. And what to forgive.
Yeah.
And all those questions can be answered through the word of God and with the guiding of Holy Spirit. Everything can be answered. How to forgive. Well, you make the decision to forgive. When to forgive.
Yeah.
70 times 7. That's how many times you forgive. You know what I mean? As many times as there's an alt against you.
I say forgive. Per day, per person,
there
per,
you go.
Per incident.
Yeah.
You know,
and why you should forgive
is
so that you're not bitter. You're not contaminated.
So, okay. So we're talking about forgiveness. Let's define what is forgiveness. What does that look like to you? What does that look like? What does forgiveness look like?
So we've talked about this before, you know, just in conversation.
Yeah.
The forgiveness is the decision you make to forgive.
Right.
And I know some people are waiting on the feeling.
Yeah.
They're waiting, you know.
Yeah.
I'm still angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can still be mad.
Yeah.
But you make the choice to forgive.
Yeah.
I forgive you.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when that situation comes back to mind, then you have to reiterate or stand your ground against those thoughts and say, no, I've already chosen to forgive. Even if you're still hurt, even if you're still angry,
yeah,
you have chosen to forgive, and eventually how you feel will catch up to what your confession is.
Yeah.
So in my mind, when I look at it, that's how you forget. Now, some people say, hey, when you forgive, you know, you just forget.
Yeah.
Mm. And I want to say this, okay? Mm. This is going to sting, and it's going to help at the same time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is not the job of forgiveness to forget.
Right.
That's love's job.
Right.
Because love keeps no record of any wrongdoing.
That's right. That's really good.
So it's love's job to forgive.
That's really good.
It's forgiveness' job to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's good. I for years, we've talked about this. My definition is very close to yours.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little bit more descriptive to really kind of make the point. It's like, I use this analogy. Somebody's swinging a knife, and they cut you. Mm-hmm. They cut you fairly deeply. And maybe they apologize, and maybe they don't. That's mm-hmm. not the point.
Right.
You choose to forgive them,
mm-hmm.
but you still have a cut on your arm,
yeah.
let's say, that may require stitches, that is going to take time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All things being equal, we're talking physical. It's going to take time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do best scenario. Let's say they cut you and they really didn't mean to and they apologize and you forgive them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have been swinging this knife around. Oh, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. But you walk away, you're still cut. You're still bleeding.
That's right.
And now the way the body works is as that thing heals, it begins to itch. You know,
yeah.
part of the healing process is it itches,
yeah.
and it's, you know, and you go through this whole thing. And, you know, so what I always tell people is that, as you said, healing is a decision you make. And based on how deeply you've been cut, your feelings will have to catch up
mm-hmm.
to the decision that you make. So we're basically saying the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's a. That's a great analogy.
But I just use that analogy to paint a picture for people.
Because that's during the healing process, there is that itching and that, you know, you feel
so,
a bit
uncomfortable. So you're always brought back, as you just said.
Exactly.
You're kind of brought back to that, you know what I'm saying? And you have to say, yeah, no, but I forgave him.
That's right.
Oh, man, this thing, oh, I got a little water in it. Oh, it stings, you know? You get in the shower and you try. So you're constantly having to kind of baby, so to speak, that area that you were injured in, but at the same time, you're reminding yourself consistently that I forgive them. Now, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Now, here's another part, though, that I think is important that we bring up about what forgiveness looks like, Troy.
Okay.
For me, this is how I was taught. Forgiveness looks like treating the person as if they never did anything against you.
Right.
So now we're dealing with the two areas, what's happening in your mind and in your heart concerning the infraction, but then also how do I treat that individual if I happen to, you know, still have some interaction with that individual. And I think that's an important part of it because, once again, a lot of people think that the feelings are just, you know, you want the feelings to go away, right? But you're still dealing with the decision.
Right.
And we know that everything has to be done in what? Faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now by faith, I have to treat that person as if they never sinned against me.
So that brings us back to the passage you brought up earlier. You say, I just wanted to bring that up, but it's relevant. If we confess our sins to God.
Yes.
He's faithful.
Yep.
And he's just.
Yep.
To forgive. Right.
Yep.
And then
to cleanse.
There you go. Of all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
So once you cleanse of all unrighteousness, the only thing that's left is righteousness.
Yeah.
And so what does that look like? Exactly what you said. As if you've never done anything.
As if you've never done it.
And that's the beauty of it. That's what forgiveness looks like. We have to look at Jesus as our example, that's right?
Exactly right.
And man. So when we look at our example, we confess our sins. He's faithful and he's just. That's the key.
Yep.
He's just.
Yep.
Because forgiveness triggers something legally.
Yeah.
In the spirit.
Yeah.
And now justice has to reign.
Yeah.
He's faithful and he's just to forgive. That's what triggers it, yes. Right? Or that's what gets triggered is the forgiveness.
Yeah.
And then the cleansing gets triggered.
Yeah.
That's, I love that stuff,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. That brings up another point for me. There's a scripture that says that there's an instruction that was given that you can forgive sins. Now I know that's a hot button topic for some believers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, only Jesus can forgive, but yet we were instructed. I have to find that scripture at some point, but we were instructed whose sins we remit, right?
That's right.
And whose sins we retain or what have you. That's an interesting dynamic for me, Troy, because I do believe personally that you can kind of hold somebody out by not forgiving them.
Sure.
And we can we can look at 1 John 1:9 that you just quoted again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what if he chooses not to? Then we're stuck in that place, per se, right?
Yeah.
Does that dynamic only work for Jesus concerning us? I don't think so.
No, it doesn't.
I think that he is that example, right? And that we too have to recognize that, wow, I can actually hold somebody out and possibly keep them from going forward by not releasing them from the thing. And they're trying to figure out, okay, why am I not able to move forward? Because there's something that has been retained over you.
So let's go Old Testament real quick.
Okay.
Okay. Because you know, the Old Testament helps explain.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So in the Old Testament, and this was not part of my note. That's what I love. I love how Holy Spirit works. Old Testament showed us this. There were five different offerings. But I don't want to deal with all five of them. Just two of them. There was a sin offering. Mm-hmm. And then there was a trespass offering. Okay. Now, the sin offering you offered up because you were a sinner.
Right.
The trespass offering was for the act that you did.
Okay.
Two different things, right?
Right.
They're like, aren't sin and trespass the same thing? No. Mm-hmm. They're not. Mm-hmm. The sin offering was for your status as a sinner. Uh-huh. Because you are a sinner,
right,
you have to offer this up.
Yeah.
Whether you did anything wrong that week or not, you still have to offer this up because you're a sinner.
Yeah.
Trespass was for the act.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay.
And so there was something that you had to offer up for forgiveness. You needed forgiveness.
Okay.
Jesus quotes the almost verbatim, the Amidah.
Okay.
Almost verbatim when his disciples asked him,
yeah,
teach us how to
pray. How to pray, yeah.
Right? And he gets down to this part. He says, forgive us our trespasses. That's the act.
Uh-huh.
Right? As we forgive those who trespass, there's the act against us.
Against us, right.
So in one state, he's saying, please, you forgive me for what I did.
Right.
And the instruction from there is I now have to forgive those.
For what they did.
For what they did to me.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
And so sometimes we don't look at that as we can forgive. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And yes, you're supposed to.
Yes.
Because there's a balance there in the same light. Forgive us our trespasses as in the same manner.
Yep, yep.
You completely forgave me, so now I have to completely forgive someone else.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
And so that's kind of how I see it.
It's in there, man.
Yeah.
It's in there. That's like the guy that had the debt and goes to the magistrate and he gets forgiven of the whole debt. And then steps out of the court, per se, mm-hmm. and sees a guy that owes him a fraction of the debt that he was just forgiven, you know, and then he just jacks him up. I don't know how that translates for you. Those are in other countries, but he doesn't do well he doesn't practice what you just laid out.
Correct.
He was forgiven a great debt. And then he has someone who, yes, is indebted to him, but not anywhere close to the level of the debt that he was just forgiven, but he doesn't practice the thing that was just done towards him in releasing him from his infraction.
Yeah.
He doesn't practice it. And I don't know, man. I think that a lot of that is going on within the body of Christ, you know. But at the same time, I believe that there's a lot of people who are understanding and really want to walk this walk for real. And I think a lot of people, you know, do practice it. But
sure.
I think we can get better as the body. We can get better.
Well, I mean, Bruce, I think one of the things that we could probably all agree to in light of what you said as far as getting better, I think what we can agree to is the trials that we have, the things that we experience, even those hardships, even those trespasses against us, they're really not for us.
Mm-hmm.
They're so we can be living epistles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's not that you tell your forgiveness story so you can poke your chest out and look how wonderful I can forgive. It's not that.
Right.
But it's really showing what we've been pardoned for. And if we actually understand what the pardoning is, the pardoning of sin is, you were doomed.
Yep.
You were caught dead to rights, red-handed.
There's
nothing you can do. And then you got a pardon.
Yeah.
You can walk free as though you've done nothing.
Right.
And I think this is, again, I know it's like beating a dead horse, but it's necessary in this case because forgiveness has to be looked at that way. I have to be able to put you back in the place that you were before the trespass.
Yes.
Before the action.
Right.
And I think that's something that we need to focus on in our churches. We need to focus on in the body completely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of offense that's happening right now.
There is, man.
And because there's so much offense, I don't think this offense comes to degradate the body as much as it does to build up the body because it gives you the opportunity to forgive.
Yeah, to practice.
If you look at it for what it is and not necessarily an attack, but an opportunity.
Yeah.
Then if you look at it that way, I think we're all better for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it stinks. Yeah, it doesn't feel good. Yes, it irritates you. And sometimes it can make you angry what some people do or say or choose to get involved with. But instead of just focusing on the attack on the body, focus on the opportunity to forgive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
What else we got?
Luke 6:37.
Oh, man. You know, that's one of my favorite areas there.
Judge not. Judge not and you will not be judged.
Mm-hmm.
Condemn not and you will not be condemned.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive and you will be forgiven.
Oh, man.
That's just real plain and simple, isn't it?
It is. It is. We'll park here for a second.
Okay.
Judge not.
Yeah.
So don't judge to a standard that you're not willing to be held to. So a lot of times people, we're believers, we shouldn't be judging. That's not true.
That's not true at all. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we hope you'll join us again under the fig tree.